السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ نحمده ونصلی علی رسوله الکریم اما بعد قال اللہ تبارک وتعالی اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم یا ایها الذین آمنوا اتقوا اللہ حق تقاته ولا تموتن الا وانتم مسلمون وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم النكاح من سنتي وقد قال فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني او كما قال عليه الصلاه والسلام علماء کرام اور ریسپیکٹڈ برادرز اینڈ آلسو سسٹرز لسننگ اوور دی ریسیورز As you know that whenever there is a nikah in this masjid on a Juma occasion, then whatever was the subject that we have been discussing over the past weeks, which we are going to continue, we leave that out and switch over to something pertaining to nikah. Although it is not compulsory, it's not farz, it's not wajib, because anything and everything that we discuss from the Quran and Sunnah is all relevant, but it is only appropriate that something should be said with regards to the nikah that takes place. Of course, in that talk, it is not only the groom that is being addressed. It is something that is for the general public, those who are married or not married. So if you look at the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which by now you may have heard 120 times, An-nikahu min sunnati. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's hadith sharif is not to be just read once or twice and forgotten. The Quranic verses are not to be just read once or twice and forgotten. We know that every year we read in the Taraweeh the same Quran sharif. In our salat we read the same Quran sharif. And we have been encouraged to recite the Quran sharif throughout our lives, every day of our lives. So which other Quran sharif will we be reciting besides that which was revealed upon Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? Which other verses will we be reciting besides those same verses which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam received from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Which other kalam will we be reciting besides the kalamullah? The same verses. So the purpose is to understand and then make amal on it. Now in the very limited time that we have on Jummah occasion, we cannot even discuss anything or we cannot even scratch the surface. But with regards to nikah, you have been listening to many, many ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and many ayat. So it could be a repetition, but listen to it because we have not yet begun to practice upon it as we should have been practicing. But I make dua, Ya Allah, whatever is most beneficial for myself and for the audience at large, put it into my mind. So then whichever hadith sharif comes, then I take it and I speak on that. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But before we go to that, you know that we have been discussing one hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in which he said that there are four sunnats of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, every Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. These were their four characteristics besides the many others. Or these were the four things which they implemented in their lives. One was al-haya, modesty and shame. Every Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had modesty, he had shame in his life. Now is this not relevant for us, even though we may have heard it many, many times? How much do we practice upon it? What do we understand by the word modesty? What do we understand by the word haya? And yet Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Al-Imanu bid'un wa sab'una shu'ba, afzaluha qawlu la ilaha illallah. وأدناها إماتة الأذى عن الطريق والحياء شعبة من الإيمان. Now again, there's no time to go into detailed discussion, but he says Iman has more than 70 branches, and the highest branch is La ilaha illallah. That is the afzal branch. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, وإماتة الأذى عن الطريق. To remove anything from the path of a person that is going to cause him some kind of harm. That is also a branch of Iman. Now, if it is a branch of iman to remove something that would cause some kind of harm, then where is iman when the person is purposely causing harm to others? When it is iman that the person must remove anything, not only banana peel, not only some orange peel, that's about the only thing we know, that if you see some banana peel, then push it one side, somebody may slip over it. It means anything that will cause any kind of harm to a person, the person must remove that. So then where will the iman be, or how low the person's iman will be if he purposely creates a problem for others, unnecessarily obstructs, or in his home if there is a party, there is a wedding taking place, or there is some kind of birthday or engagement party, now the person is unconcerned and is making a din and a noise and a shout and a scream that is disturbing the whole neighborhood. There is blasting of the hooters and there is firing of the crackers. So now, is that not creating problem for others? Is that not putting difficulty or creating inconvenience? So, وَإِمَاتَةُ الْأَذَانِ التَّرِيكَ. A Muslim is one who removes things that will cause any kind of injury, any kind of pain, any kind of hurt, any kind of grief. The person removes that. I'm giving you an explanation, and we are extending the meaning, that anything that will cause any kind of problem, the person removes that. And Haya, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, is a shoba of iman, it's a branch of iman. He specifically mentions that. Now this I have mentioned many, many times, but as I said, that we will have to go on repeating because we haven't begun practicing as yet. That where is the haya, where is that shame, where is that modesty that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is talking about, of which the Quran Sharif orders us, or with so many ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam instruct us, when the father, the mother, the son, the daughter, the children, the grandmother, grandparents are all around the television screen, and then they are singing and dancing girls, and there's music, and there is adultery, and there's fornication, and there's drinking of alcohol, and sometimes it's a strip club that's coming on the television screen, and sometimes it's a nightclub, and sometimes it's some other kind of club, and sometimes it is a cinema, or sometimes it is a church, sometimes it is a temple. Now all those things are coming, and everybody is glued to it, and everybody is happy, and there's great smile on the faces of the people also, because they say, this is my Hollywood hero, and this is my Hollywood heroine. So sometimes they are hooked on the heroine who is in human form, and sometimes they're addicted to different kind of heroine. So where is the modesty? Therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Hadith Sharif, and Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah alayhi says, فَإِنَّ حَقِيقَةَ الْحَيَاءَ أَنَّ مَوْلَاكَ لَا يَرَاكَ حَيْسُ نَحَاكَ. What is the reality of haya and shame? When we are talking about shame, what is the haqiqat and reality? Says the haqiqat and reality is this, that your Allah does not find you in those places which He has prohibited you to be in. That is the real haya. So every person must question himself, that this place where I am, is my Allah pleased to see me in this place? If he is at a prostitute quarters, is Allah pleased? If he is in a rave club, Allah is pleased? If he is in a disco or cinema, is Allah Ta'ala pleased? So he must ask himself this question, that if he wants to know whether there is haya in him or not, if a person wants to know whether he has got haya or not, like that we say that person is very shy, is very bashful. That is not sufficient. If you want to really know whether the person has got haya, then the person must ask himself this question, that this place where I am now, is my Allah pleased or he is displeased? You are talking cheerfully with your wife, with your children, and you ask yourself that question, is my Allah pleased with this? You'll get the reply, yes, he is. If you are in your business and your intention is to earn halal livelihood, you want to earn halal livelihood so that you don't have to extend your hand before others and beg, so that you may be able to have the hand that will be the giving hand and not the receiving hand, so that you may be able to build masajid, madaris, so that you may be able to go for umrah, hajj, so that you may be able to provide for the widows, for the orphans, for the destitute. Now if you have got this kind of intention and the person is earning, now if he has to ask himself the question, and provided he is selling those items which are halal to sell, he is not deceiving anybody, he is not neglecting the rights of the customer and the client, which Allah Ta'ala has placed over him, If there is any defect in an article, he is revealing it. He is not trying to make a grab, irrespective of whether it is coming in a halal way or haram way. He has sab kuch andar, halal andar, haram andar, lekin phir bhi hai maskal andar. The person has got everything in his system, halal, haram. But as long as he made namaz in the first saf and he raised his hands and shed a few tears, or he made hajj upon hajj and umrah upon umrah, then he is maskal andar. Whereas Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not look at that. So haya, the person must ask this question, is my Allah pleased? So I was saying that if the person has to ask, for example now, is my Allah pleased with me being in the masjid Jummah day at this part of the time, then what reply will he get? He doesn't have to listen to any words. He knows that Allah Ta'ala is pleased. So al-haya wa shawbatun min al-iman. So this was one of the characteristics of the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam. But without going into the other three, let us now switch over to another hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam, in which Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam, and it is reported by Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an, he says, Rasul Paak sallallahu alayhi wasallam told me, hajjilu bis salati qabl al-fawt. Hasten, be quick, perform your salat before the time of salat expires. Before it becomes qaza, make your salat. And when we were discussing salat in one bayan, then I told you how in the Quran Sharif, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, when addressing shaitan, because shaitan was told to make one sajda to Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, but he refused to make, his pride kept him aloof. And he said, khalaqatani min nar wa khalaqtahu min tween. So what did Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala say? فَخْرُجْ فَإِنَّكَ رَجِيمٌ وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكَ اللَّعْنَةَ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. Get out from here. You are rejected. Now look at the anger of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Get out. You are rejected. And lanat of Allah ta'ala until the day of Qiyamah. Why? Because he refused to make one sajda. Now 5 times a day, the muazzin is saying, حَيَّ عَلَى الصَّلَاةِ حَيَّ عَلَى الصَّلَاةِ. And if we refuse to make those sajdas, then how many sajdas we are not making before Allah Ta'ala? Then how can we expect peace and contentment and mercy of Allah? And we want sukoon and tranquility in our lives. And we want our homes to be homes that will be jannat on earth. How can we get it when Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is saying lanat, curse of his? So then we will have everything, but we will not have peace. And there is no shortage of evidence for that. Go around the world and you will find it. Go around the localities and you will find it. Go around our neighborhood and you will find it. That there are so many people Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given plentiful. And there was nothing wrong with that plentiful. If it was earned in a halal way and the person was obedient to Allah ta'ala, then that was a great gift of Allah ta'ala. But when there's disobedience and there's no salat in the life, na namaz hai, na roza, na zakat hai, na hajj, to khushi phir iski kya hai ki koi gent hai to koi judge. You see, if there's a Muslim person, but he's got no namaz, roza, zakat in his life, then Akbar Allah Abadi Rahmatullah Alayhi says that it gives me, and he was a judge himself, he says, then it gives me no happiness that the person is called a gentleman. We say he's a gentleman. What a gentleman he is. He says, what kind of a gentleman is that? And what kind of a judge is that if he doesn't have namaz, roza, zakat in his life? In other words, if he doesn't have Islam in his life. If he's a Muslim, then the first thing we'll look at, does he have Iman, yaqeen, does he have namaz, roza, zakat, and the fulfillment of rights of Allah and his creation? If he has that, then we'll be extremely happy that we have a Muslim judge, that we have a Muslim cabinet minister, that we have a Muslim president, that we have a Muslim prime minister, that we have a Muslim attorney, an engineer, a lawyer, whatever the person is, will make us extremely happy. It's not that every person must go into a Darul Uloom and become Hafiz of the Quran Sharif and become Alim. We need business people, we need everybody. We need engineers, we need architects, we need everybody in the society. But the first condition is this. So therefore, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, he says, my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me that, ajjilu. I mean, be quick, be hasten, don't delay your salat. Now look at the delay in our salat. In the first place, 70% don't even bother about making salat. We're looking at the ummah at large. And that 30% also of them, what a large number. You will find them making qaza of the zuhur, asr, and then after maghrib they will be making some qaza, or just before the sun is setting you will find them making quickly the zuhur and asr namaz. Now is that following this hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gets so angry. If a father has to tell his son, dear son, I want to give you a great gift, please come. The son is not interested. He is busy with his cell phone, hooked up on the mixit and with his illicit beloveds. After some time again he says, "Dear son, I love you dearly, please come. I want to give you the best." Again the son is not interested. The third time again he says, fourth time he says, fifth time he says, then what do you expect after that? What will the father do? Will he give him that gift? If he wanted to write one property in his name, will he write it? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala uses the muazzin 5 times a day. Hayya ala salah, hayya ala falah. Come towards success. Allah ta'ala wants to give success. He wants to give falah. Success in this world, in the grave, in the akhirat. But we say, "Ya Allah, we're not interested because we got sufficient wealth." But we forget that who gave that wealth. So that is the first point we can go on discussing. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, "And ajjilu bitawbati qabla al-maut." There may not be much discussion of nikah, but this hadith sharif came, so now listen. "And ajjilu bitawbati qabla al-maut." Hasten towards tawbah before your death comes. Look at the number of accidents that are taking place. Last night also in the zikr majlis I mentioned this, that there are many people who passed away in accidents and they got a form of shahadat, a form of martyrdom. There are many people who died in shooting while they were hijacked, or the murders took place, or they died in war, in battle somewhere, some bullet struck and they died, or there was a bomb blast and they died. So in many cases we will say that the person was probably given a kind of martyrdom, a shahadat, a stage which he could not have reached through his ibadat, through his zikr and tilawat. But those are exceptions. But how many others are dying in places where Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is extremely displeased? How many deaths are taking place in cinemas, in clubs, in theatres, or the person is watching some kind of filth on the television screen or on the porn site of the internet, and suddenly there's a bomb blast, or suddenly there's a shake-up, there is a tsunami that takes place, or there is a shake-up of the earth, and this is not in our control, nobody has got it in his control. Now what kind of death will that be? So therefore he says, make tawbah before maut, and who knows when his maut will come. Jo aaya hai yahan aaj ek kal jayega, koi dam mein ye dam nikal jayega. Whoever has come here, one day he has to go. Any time this breathing will stop, any time, he does not know when. Now does he have any guarantee when he is in the prostitute quarters or at the escort agency or in the film world? Does he have any guarantee that his death will not come? So if accidentally he was trapped and he committed some sin, then make tawbah before death. The person does not know when death will come, so make immediate tawbah, that's what it means. That distance yourself from it. Allah is merciful, is forgiving, is very kind. There is no one more tolerant than Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He dearly loves his creation and he does not want to see anybody go into the fire of Jahannam. But then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants that we must return to him. The person must express remorse, regret, shed tears of nadamat and shame. Mera har khata pe rona, yahi hai meri talafi. Mera har khata pe rona, yahi hai meri talafi. Teri rahmaton ka sadqa, mera jurm afw karna. Says, "Oh my Allah, mera har khata pe rona. I am a human being. I am bound to make mistakes. I am bound to err. I am bound to slip. I am bound to fall. But I am not like shaitan who refused to bow down before you. Ya Allah, I have believed in you as a merciful, forgiving, compassionate, loving, generous, kind, tolerant Allah. So therefore I cry over my sins. I don't justify my sins. I don't advertise my sins. I don't go to the newspapers running that please come and visit me at a certain clubhouse and a certain disco and a certain rave club and a certain haram show and come and take my photographs and put it in the newspapers. I don't advertise my sins. Mera har khata pe rona, yahi hai meri talafi. Teri rahmaton ka sadqa, mera jurm afwa karna. And ya Allah, out of your rahmat for you it is to forgive my sins." So he says that this is something that you should do before maut. I will just run through the other three because of the time factor, and inshallah again if there is some other nikah we may touch this hadith sharif again. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, The other thing that if there is a janaza, I'm just giving you the gist of it. If a janaza is ready, then don't delay. Don't delay the burial. If the person is a pious person, then give him the opportunity to start benefiting in his qabr from the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the fragrant breeze coming from Jannat. The qabr is not just 1 6-foot hole there after that. It's an alam-e-barzakh. It's a different world altogether for that person. So don't delay it. Unnecessarily don't delay it. If there's rain or if there is some documentation that is still to be completed or the ground is very hard and cannot be sorted out quickly, then those are exceptions. But just waiting for somebody is arriving from Cape Town, somebody arriving from Karachi, somebody arriving from England, now the janaza is delayed unnecessarily. Or making the person's body travel long distances just for the sake of burial. Underneath, underground, it is all the same, whether the person is buried here or anywhere in the world. If he's a pious person, he will get all the benefits. So don't delay those janazas. Try and make them as quickly as possible. This is a teaching of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And what do we get when we delay it? We are delaying the people of the house. There are so many ladies, so many family members, they are stuck there. They have to sit for the whole day there. Sometimes the whole night there, they are waiting. Why? Because somebody is coming from some other part of the world. So how much of difficulty it causes for everybody, how much of inconvenience. Shariat wants to give us the best of both worlds. So it's a bury the person quickly. Once the janaza is ready, then don't delay. Now, this is another subject on its own. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that if the person is indebted, he's owing people monies, so then don't delay the payment of that monies. Unfortunately, these days we are just look forward to long terms, irrespective of even if we have to pay interest upon interest upon interest. As long as we get some property cheap, then we grab it. As long as we get long terms, then we take it. But we are unconcerned that debt can come any time. So there's nothing wrong in installment payments. There's nothing wrong, don't misunderstand me. If a person doesn't have the cash and he is in need of some kind of property or some kind of car or anything of that nature and he has to buy on installments, as long as he doesn't pay interest, there is a profit that is charged. But he pays in equal installments, there's no fluctuation after that, then it is permissible. But the person must be concerned, he must think that I have to pay this debt sooner or later, so therefore let me make an effort and pay this person whatever is due to him. Don't be like those people who say, well, it's qarz-e hasana, so haste rehna. When any person asks you for the money, have a good smile on the face and say, did my grandfather pay anybody that I'm going to pay you? So pay the people. Qiyamah day, this, even if a person becomes shaheed, this is not maaf. It is not forgiven. The person can make 100 hajj, one after the other, and he can shed the tears equivalent to the waters of the ocean in the plains of Arafat. But if he is owing people money, that he is obligated to pay. Unless, of course, it's unfortunate circumstances. The person's property got burned down, or the person suffered some other kind of disaster, and he just doesn't have it. Then we will say, go and ask those people for forgiveness, or ask them for some terms and times for payment. But don't neglect. And the last thing that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, which we are supposed to have discussed, was that if there is a girl and a suitable match is found, then don't delay the marriage. And I conclude on this, that if the suitable match is found, we are not saying just throw your daughters to any dakha ruka, as they say. Give your daughters to the person that you are satisfied with, that has got good character, akhlaq and everything. But if a suitable match is found, then don't delay. Now girls are undergoing abortion. Ask me, I'm telling you the truth, I'm not speaking lies in the masjid. A girl undergoes 2 abortions, but her parents are not prepared to undertake her marriage. Why? Because she still has 2 years to go at the university. Her course is not complete. She must finish her course first, then she will get married. So she's too young to get married, but she's not young to have 2 abortions. Now she's writing to me, or she wrote to me, says, what do I do in such a case? Can we make secret nikah? So who is opening the doors for these secret nikahs? Now again, this is a subject I can carry on till tomorrow night, but I conclude on this. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala make this marriage a marriage of barakat. May Allah unite their hearts with muhabbat, love and affection. Give them the tawfiq to fulfill the rights of each other. And may Allah ta'ala make it a means of pious and righteous children coming into this world. May Allah ta'ala remove the difficulties, hardships and problems of the entire mankind. And especially the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, wherever they are suffering.